Can I still consider myself saved after committing grievous sins? That's just one of the questions we'll be answering on today's edition of Core Christianity. Hi, this is Bill Meyer along with Pastor Adriel Sanchez, and this is the radio program where we answer your questions about the Bible and the Christian life every day. We would love to hear from you, and our phone lines are open right now. You can call us with your question at 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. Now, you can also post your question on one of our social media sites. You can watch Adriel live in the studio on our YouTube channel, and you can send him a question that way through YouTube. And you couldn't always, of course, email us at questions@corechristianity.com. First up today, let's go to a call we received from one of our listeners.
I have a question about tithing. I tithe regularly. However, I received an inheritance, and I was told that if it's a gift, you don't have to tithe unless you feel like you want to. Does God require us to tithe when it's a gift or inheritance? Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thank you for that question. Very practical. And I guess the first thing I would want to say, and oftentimes we do draw a distinction between the tithe as it was in the Old Testament under the Old Covenant, which was this requirement for the people of God there living under the Mosaic Covenant. It was probably, you know, we talk about 10%, but probably when you included everything, all the different tithes that they were giving, was probably more than that. And so sometimes people will say, well, is that still binding on believers today under the New Covenant? I think giving generously is something that we are all called to do as Christians. I don't know that I would say that the tithe of the Old Covenant should be imposed upon New Covenant Christians, believers in Jesus Christ today, which isn't to say that we shouldn't be giving to the local church and supporting the work of ministry, because Jesus himself said, and Jesus had no problem talking about money and our possessions, he said, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There's this connection between the things we invest in and where our heart is. And it sort of works both ways, right? We invest in those things that we're passionate about, but if you want to be passionate about the work of missions and the advancement of the gospel, give to that, invest in that. And so I would say, while I don't think that you're bound to give a tithe on that, you're free to give generously from all that the Lord gives to you. And remember what Paul tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, that the Lord loves the cheerful giver. I love this text of scripture, and it's one that I often go to when the question of tithing comes up. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and in verse 6, Paul says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart. And I think you can take that word to heart for yourself, sister. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work, as it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. What a privilege it is, friends, that God gives to us the ability to invest in the good of his kingdom, in the work of missions. This is something that we should be excited about, something that should bring us joy. And so I pray that as you consider, sister, God's generosity to you, not just in this inheritance, but most of all in the gospel, in his son, Jesus, in the forgiveness of your sins, as you meditate on that, that more and more you would, that we all would be shaped into generous, cheerful givers. God bless.
Great counsel. Thank you for that, Adriel. You're listening to Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. And if you have a question about the Bible, the Christian life, doctrine, theology, or even how your Christian walk on a day-to-day basis intersects with what's happening in the world around us, feel free to give us a call. Here's our phone number. It's 833-THE-CORE. That's 1-833-843-2673. We want to take a moment to say thank you to a very special group of people. We call them our inner core.
Yeah, Bill, if you benefit from the answers we give on this show, we want to invite you to become a member of the Inner Core. As an Inner Core member, you'll receive a signed copy of the book Core Christianity, Finding Yourself in God's Story by our founder, Dr. Michael Horton, exclusive updates and bonus content from the team. And when you sign up for the Inner Core in the month of March, we'll send you an invitation to join us on a live virtual meeting. Myself, some of the members of the Core team, other Inner Core members on Wednesday, April 13th at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. It's going to be an opportunity for you to get to ask questions about the Christian faith via this meeting and just get to know a little bit more about the organization, what we're doing, what we hope to continue to do through your partnership. And so if you're an Inner Core member already, please be on the lookout for an invitation in your email.
Mark that on your calendar, that virtual meeting with Adriel and the team set for April 13th, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. And of course, you can become an Inner Core member by signing up with a recurring donation of $25 or more. Your support allows us to continue sharing the gospel and answering the tough questions about the Christian faith for people around the world. And to join in that video call and join the core team, why don't you just go to corechristianity.com/innercore. That's corechristianity.com/innercore. Well, let's go back to a voicemail. This is from one of our listeners named Bob.
I taught Sunday school, and I even filled in for the pastor when he had needed help. But we had trouble at the church, and we had to leave. And I'd done some dirty, terrible things that I can't even mention after that. And I was wanting to know, am I still saved, or have I already passed the salvation point? Please answer my question. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. I'm sorry to hear about the trouble that you had in this church. And it sounds like your question is, you know, can I still consider myself a Christian after I've committed a grievous sin? Now, I don't know what specifically it is that you're talking about. I just want to preface my comments by saying that if you've hurt someone or if you've done something that's illegal, I think it's really important for you to come clean about that. I think that's part of the process of repentance, if you will, and turning to the Lord. And so not concealing or hiding. Throughout Scripture, we have instances where people who were, a part of the family of God, if you will, within the church, committed terrible sins. I mean, you think of King David, adultery, murder. You think of just every quote unquote hero in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, seems to have had, you know, at one point or another in their life, just a very grievous sin to sort of mark them. And so I say that not to excuse whatever you've done, but just so that you know that there's hope that when you turn to the Lord, confessing your sin, that he forgives, that the blood of Jesus Christ is sufficient even to wash away those sins that we're so ashamed of, that we just want to hide and conceal. And I would say, you know, you want to bring this into the light. Now, you need to be in a good church that is faithful to the Word of God, that can bring the gospel to bear in your life and in this particular situation, where you can experience that restoration that the Apostle Paul talks about in the book of Galatians. In the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 5, I think he gives a really helpful description here. Actually, Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Listen to what he said. Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so, one, when you go to the Lord in true confession, sincerely repenting of your sins, he forgives you. So you have that. Two, you know, if you've done something to hurt someone or something illegal, you need to come into the light. You need to confess and bring this on. There may be consequences, obviously. You know, we can choose our sins, but we can't choose our consequences. There may be consequences, but in that, you can still experience the mercy and grace of God, true and genuine healing. And three, just getting plugged into a solid church where you can get accountability and the help that you need, that your family needs, where you can experience sense, that restoration that the Apostle Paul talks about in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Thank you for your question.
Mm. You're listening to Core Christianity. Let's go to Joy, who's calling in from Chico, California. Joy, what's your question for Pastor Adriel?
Well, I am listening to radio preachers a lot because I'm a shut-in due to a chronic disease. And these preachers, evangelical preachers, they mention names like Spurgeon and C.S. Lewis and Martin Luther. But I never hear anyone mentioning Ellen White. And she was from the turn of the century, between the 1800 and 1900. And I'm reading a book of hers, and I find it very biblical, to the best of my knowledge. I'm not that, you know, well-versed in the Bible, but I find nothing wrong with her.
Well, Joy, so your question is, how come I don't hear more people talking about Ellen White? You know, they talk about all these other pastors and historical figures, preachers, church fathers, but I don't hear her name mentioned. For those of you who don't know, she helped to co-found the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And you know, just like with all churches, I think there's a spectrum of belief, even among the Seventh-day Adventists, but some of the sort of core teachings that they embrace. One of them would be just the Saturday Sabbath, and that still being binding on believers today. And we get that question from time to time here, Joy, on the broadcast. You know, why do we worship on Sunday instead of on Saturdays? And so this would be something where there's difference. And I think probably that right there, especially being so distinct and different from what Christians have done historically for the last 2,000 years, is one of the things that causes people not really to refer to her very much. I think that's actually one area where she is, or where that group is in error, just the way that they view the Sabbath still today. And then there are a number of other things. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, that they're all wrong. I mean, oftentimes, you know, you have people who still really believe in Jesus and the gospel and embrace the truth of the gospel, and yet, you know, are confused about other parts of Scripture. And I think that's one area where there's some confusion in the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And so we've talked about that on the broadcast before, but that's, you know, the best answer I could give you in terms of why people don't refer to her as often, Joy. And let me just say to you, God bless you, sister. May the Lord be with you, and as you continue to study the Word, encourage you and give you a sense of His presence. And I do pray that believers in your area would be able to reach out to you, Joy, and connect with you even while you're shut in. Maybe requesting some pastors to come and visit you and spend time with you. I hope that's an opportunity that you have because you're one of Christ's precious sheep. God bless you.
Mm. And Joy, we will be praying for you here at Core Christianity with your illness. So thank you so much for your call. This is Core Christianity with Pastor Adriel Sanchez. If you've got a question for Adriel, give us a call right now. Our phone lines will be open for the next 6-7 minutes or so. 833-THE-CORE is the number. By the way, we're going to be recording a second program today. So after our live Core Christianity show ends, we're going to be recording a second show. So you can actually call in for the next 40 minutes or so if you have a question, weren't able to call in during the live show. Jot the number down, 833-843-2673. Or 833-THE-CORE. You can call us for the next 40 minutes. Let's go to Carol in New York City. Carol, what is your question for Pastor Adriel?
Yes, my question is, I've been attending church services. My husband's a pastor, and I attend his services via Zoom. He goes to the church, and there are people there, but I run the Zoom from home for people who can't get out. And but in the afternoons, I may visit a church in virtual reality. It's been interesting to me, and there's some good churches in there, and they service people all around the world and good preaching and teaching. However, I find that they will have communion and baptism in virtual reality, you know, baptizing people and whatnot. And you're there, you're an avatar, you know, everything is a virtual reality. and you know, it's not real water, it's not real wine, it's not real bread. And I just have a problem with it. I have a hard enough time doing it on Zoom, you know, with your own elements from your home and whatnot. So I really have a difficult time. And I wanted to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I have a very difficult time with it too, Carol. I mean, if it's not real water and if it's not real wine and it's not real bread, it's not real baptism and it's not real communion. I mean, I think that's just the reality. When we have to take Jesus' words seriously. And when we think about church and the gathering together of the assembly, believers coming together around the table of the Lord. I mean, one of the things that's signified in the Lord's Supper, there are a number of things there that are signified or that are pictured there, but it's the unity that we have as the body of Christ coming together, that being realized in a particular place, in a moment in time. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 14, "My beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to sensible people. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." Well, that can't happen in virtual reality. And I'm concerned that, you know, one of the things I see happening all around us, Carol, is this sort of minimizing of church, of the significance of what takes place when we gather together. Now, I understand some people like our dear sister Joy, who just called, you know, are shut in. They can't be there because of sickness or something else. But for the rest of us, God calls us to gather together, to come be ministered to by the preaching of the word, to partake of these gifts of grace, you know, call them sacraments, call them ordinances, that he gives to us, because we need that nourishment. We need that spiritual nourishment, those reminders of the gospel, of God's goodwill and love toward his people. And I'm just afraid that so many people are either casting those aside altogether or just sort of, you know, reinventing how to go about it. I mean, as you say now, you know, with technology, there's this sort of virtual church thing where we're doing baptisms without water and communion, without bread and wine, that kind of a thing. Well, no, that's contrary to the word of God. And I think we want to, rather than, you know, encouraging people to just stay home and do this sort of virtual church thing, we want to encourage them to come and to gather with the saints so we can see each other face to face, so we can encourage one another, get to know each other, be seated, if you will, together around the table of the Lord, singing together. That's what God calls us to, brothers and sisters. And so I'm with you, Carol. I have a difficult time with that. And frankly, I just think it's not biblical. Hmm.
That's an issue, definitely, and thanks for that clarification there, Adriel. You're listening to Core Christianity. Let's go to Rob calling in from Missouri. Rob, what's your question for Adriel?
First of all, guys, thanks for the broadcast. I listen to it just about every time I'm in my vehicle. My question would be, when we go to heaven, will we recognize our friends and family in the same way we do on earth?
Rob, thank you for your encouragement, brother. And I believe that the answer to your question is yes. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, that many are going to sit down in the kingdom of God with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, with the patriarchs. I think assuming there that we're going to know each other, that we're going to experience genuine fellowship as the family of God, not just with the people that we knew here on earth, but with the saints who have gone before us, with the people of God who we read about even in the scriptures. And heaven is this great gathering of the family of God, even right now, you know, as we're waiting for the final judgment and the resurrection of the dead. There are the saints in heaven, those who have believed in Jesus Christ and received him by faith, worshiping him around the throne of God. This is the picture that we get in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. It says that when we gather together for worship, and again, this is just talking about the importance of worship, the author of the Hebrews says, this is what we're going to. He says, "You have come to Mount Zion," Hebrews 12, 22, "to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, innumerable angels in festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect." Those are our loved ones who have died in Christ, and are now in his presence, perfected in holiness. And I do think there's, I don't know exactly how this works, but I do think there's a recognition of the ability to recognize, you know, our loved ones and those who have gone before us, because we have this perfect knowledge that's given to us in the Lord, in the presence of God. Paul speaks of this in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And he goes on to say in Hebrews 12, the author of the Hebrews, and to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. So brothers and sisters, what a beautiful thing, what a wonderful thing that we have to look forward to in Christ, coming, you know, when we die, you know, in Christ, our spirits being made perfect in holiness and coming into the presence of God, into the very throne room of God, to worship Him, not just on our own, but together with all the angels in festal attire, gathered together for this great celebration, and with our loved ones in Christ who have gone before us. And I do believe, Rob, that we will know each other even better than we ever have with this perfect knowledge, and we will experience that perfect peace and perfect joy and perfect fellowship in heaven. And we get a foretaste of that now, this side of heaven, in the church, with the people of God. It's a fellowship that we're called to experience and grow in and nourish in our own lives. And so appreciate your question, brother. May God bless you as you continue to seek to be faithful to Him, and may He be with you and with your family.
Thanks for listening to Core Christianity. To request your copy of today's special offer, visit us at corechristianity.com and click on Offers in the menu bar. Or call us at 1-833-843-2673. That's 833-THE-CORE. When you contact us, please let us know how you've been encouraged by this program. And be sure to join us next time as we explore the truth of God's Word together.